of fame, of faith in heaven. I'm going to speak to you on this subject. Faith works. Faith works. It's hard to believe. It's been 25 years since God called us to start Grace Baptist Church. Can you look at you? I'll cry. And I will be honest and tell you that the call to start this church was not nearly as clear as the call to preach. In April of 1988, God hit me like a ton of bricks, and I knew that I had to preach the gospel vocationally if I was to ever find any peace in this life. But it was over 2 years later that God began to deal in my spirit about starting a church. And I really begged God for some confirmation that was Him. I shared with my wife, I feel like God wants us to start a church. And I've told you before, she looked at me with those big brown eyes and she said, I love you with all my heart. And I'll say this, you get the best psychiatric care available in this town. But you are nuts. And I didn't get angry, have a bad temper. Used to. God set me free from that. I said, God is setting me free from that. Didn't get angry. I said, would you just pray about it? And about a week or 10 days later, I came home from work and she was crying and she said, God wants us to start a church. And I really wanted somebody else to tell me that, Mickey. I wanted somebody just to say, Miss Aries back there, for heaven's sake, it's good to see you, my sister. God bless you. I love you. I wanted God to send somebody to say, Bill, don't you know God wants you to start a church? Because that really is how He called me into the ministry. My pastor came to me and said, why are you running from God? And I said, I don't think I am. He said, don't you know God's called you to preach? And I said, yes, sir. And he said, well, why aren't you preaching? I said, it was not time. He said, well, it's time now. I want you to preach here. And I almost fainted. And I did preach my second sermon there. But I had several friends that had come to us individually and said, we just really burdened to pray for you and your new ministry endeavor, whatever that's going to be. And so I went to them, and in each of those cases, individually, I said, I believe God wants us to start a church, and I'm not asking you to do a thing but pray for us. And each of them individually said, we felt like that, but we weren't supposed to tell you. You had to take that step of faith. God needed to confirm that. And that's the way faith works, folks. You see, I'm not the only person that's called to walk by faith. We all are called to walk by faith. And that means stepping out when you don't really see the next step. That means trusting God to do what you don't know how to do. That means knowing that God knows best when you think you have a pretty good plan. And when we took that step of faith, God began to bring in confirmation after confirmation after confirmation. But the truth of the matter is, that's how faith always works. Faith propels us into obedience to God's plan and purpose for our life. And so we're going to discuss that today as we look at this 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. And I want to read two verses of Scripture for you. I'd ask you to stand if you're able to do so, just very briefly, to honor the reading of God's precious Word. Hebrews chapter 11, and you know these passages of Scripture. Verse 1, now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Please be seated. Faith is substance. Faith is evidence. Father, thank you for your word and thank you for faith. Thank you that you make it possible for us to operate by faith. You give us a measure of faith and it's up to us to exercise that faith that it might grow so that we can realize our full potential in Jesus Christ. Thank you for the faith you've given to me and for the exercise of it to come to this place of having pastored this great church for 25 years. It's mind-boggling. And yet I pray that I'll be remembered, Lila will be reminded, that we all as individual members of Grace Baptist Church and those visiting with us today will be reminded that there is no limit with God. There is no limit to what you will do in and through our lives if we will but trust you and act on that faith. Father, preach through me now and set me free of every distraction, every hindrance, every obstacle I present to your truth. Would you silence me that you might be heard and hide me that you might be seen? And I do pray that the forces of darkness and evil might be bound from this place and from this property, that we might have perfect liberty to receive your word. Let it work its perfect work and change us forever for the glory of God. And for all that you do, we'll praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Several things I want to draw your attention to. And first and foremost is the function of faith. Four different verses of Scripture make a simple and same declaration about faith. Habakkuk 2:4, Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:10, and Hebrews 10:38 says, the just shall live by faith. The just is a reference there who are justified through the broken body and shed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Our sins have been forgiven. We have been cleansed and filled with the Holy Spirit of God and sealed forever by His presence and by His power. So we are the just, and His call for us is that we would live by faith. Preacher, why is it so important for Christians to live by faith? Hebrews explains that to us in the second verse. For by it, faith, the elders obtained a good report. They obtained a good report. The word report there, martyreo, it means testimony or evidence to bear. It means a record. It means to give a witness. It means to obtain a record. Unfortunately, we can't have a good record with God without faith. It simply is impossible. We can have a good testimony or a good report with our neighbors without faith. We can have a good testimony or a good report with our spouse without faith. We can have a good testimony or report with our children without faith. We can have a good testimony or report in the community. We can be good people and the community thinks we're wonderful, but without faith, we don't have a good report with Almighty God. Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. So we must act in faith to have a good report with Almighty God. Faith provides access to God. Faith is what allows us to know God and know His will. Faith releases the power of God in us so that we can do His will. And faith enables us to bless God continually as surely as He's blessed us. And boy, hadn't we been blessed here at Grace Baptist Church? God's been so good to us. But in blessing God, we'll become effective witnesses in this world. And the truth of the matter is, that is a primary purpose for why we're here. Matthew 28:9. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. We are called to be God's ambassadors, God's witness in this lost and dying world. I am often reminded that God didn't call me to start Grace Baptist Church to make me famous. And God didn't call me to start Grace Baptist Church to make you famous. And God didn't call Grace Baptist Church to make the Southern Baptist Convention famous. God called me to start Grace Baptist Church to make Him more famous. To make Him known throughout this community. And by so doing, we obtain a good report with God. I don't know about you, but I want to have a good report with God. I was thinking about Trevor today, this last week as Esther preparing for sermon. And I thought about how when I was in school, all the time the teachers and principal, because I got to visit with them a lot, they would say, this is going on your permanent record. This is going on your permanent record. I didn't know why I would care, you know. Because the truth of the matter is, they really did lie. It's not permanent. You couldn't find about me getting the spanking the first day of the first grade with the FBI helping you. I mean, it's not on my permanent record. It's lost. It's gone. And I'm just 62 years old. I mean, come on. It wasn't permanent. It was permanent while I was in school. So it was my school record. And my parents got to see it. And they most times didn't like it. But it wasn't permanent. But you understand that my record with God is permanent. God remembers the first day of the first grade and Miss May Stewart just wearing me out because I wouldn't quit talking. God remembers all those things all down through the years. God remembers our report with Him can be a good report or a bad report. So we really ought to pay attention to making sure we have a good report with God. I'm so grateful for the good report for so many of the saints of Grace Baptist Church. And I know you have a good report because of your faithfulness to God. I want to recognize two faithful saints of God today, and they won't be happy with me about this. But I want to ask Randy and Debbie Pillen to come up forward, if you would, just for a minute. I want you to know that Randy and Debbie are the only two remaining of the founding members of Grace Baptist Church with Lila and me. And they've been here from the first time we met in our home in Country Place to today. So let them know that you appreciate them. Oh, you can come up here. Come on, Debbie. That's right. As an expression of our appreciation and love for your faithfulness through these years, we want you to have this, and you can open if you'd like to. That's right. You can. Debbie doesn't rip things. She's very neat. They taped it with a vengeance, didn't they? It's a small token of our appreciation to you for your love and for your stick-to-itiveness through the years. I love you very much. I love you very much. I
love you too.
Thank you. God bless you. You may be seated. I hope you like it, and if not, I'll tell you where it came from and we'll exchange it. I knew that they liked the Painter of Light, and that's who that's by. I wish I had a gift for every single one of you all, faithful servants of Grace Baptist Church. Neither time nor the budget permit that. But I want you to know how deeply I love and appreciate you. And I understand that your faithfulness to this church is really an expression of your faithfulness to God. And I believe you're a great blessing to God. And I believe we are establishing a good report with God. And there's nothing more important in this life. Nothing more important in this life than having a good report with God. Stay faithful. It's expensive sometimes to stay faithful. Cost you something. Stay faithful. Don't be distracted by the world. Don't be distracted by the gods of this world. Don't be discouraged by the lack of appreciation that perhaps many times is shown or not shown. You stay faithful to God, and He will not fail you. And that will be the greatest confirmation of your faith. For that is the primary function of faith. But there's a second thing, and that's the frustration of faith. And the truth of the matter is, living by faith is often frustrating. I found it to be quite curious. I looked at that word, Trevor, and it means to have a strong desire to discover the unknown. And that describes me about a lot of things with God. I really would like to know more about what I don't know about God. I'd like to know more about God's plan for me. I'd like to eliminate some of the suspense and mystery so that I wouldn't have to live by faith so much. And God just laughs and laughs and laughs. And He said, I want you to live by faith. I would tell you that it's curious because we often don't understand what God's calling us to or why. I certainly didn't. I would be honest and say I had been suspicious, I think, because from the time I was about 9 years old, a godly old gentleman, Oliver Massey, I'll never forget him as long as I live, probably been in heaven now 40, 50 years, said to me one day with my dad standing there, you're going to preach the gospel someday. And it was completely repulsive to me. I couldn't think of a more distasteful thing in life. And I think that's part of the reason I ran and ran and ran and ran and ran from God. And I couldn't get away because of godly parents and grandparents who were praying for me. But when God began to speak to me about ministry, I got to the place I said, okay. And then when He started speaking about starting a church, I said, God, that's just crazy. That's just crazy. I don't even know anybody that's ever started a church. I mean, I don't know how to start a church. And let's be honest, God, I don't want to start a church. I'll go off to seminary. I'll get in the system. I'll try to work my way up and be somebody if that's what you want me to do. But I don't know about all this. And God just would not leave me alone. Would not leave me alone. And I prayed and I prayed and I cried and I prayed. And I said, God, you got to just help me to understand. And all that came to my mind was Isaiah 55:8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor my ways your ways, says the Lord. Think about that. God's ways are far beyond us. And so it's foolish for us to question Him when God calls us to take a step of faith and say, God, that makes no sense. He can say, it makes sense if you were God. But you aren't God, so you need to trust God and just do what I've called you to do. And how many of the times in my life I have found, looking back, how much better off I would be if I had simply done what God said to do and not try to find a better way to do it. But the fact is, real faith manifests in obedience. And God brought me to that crossroads. And He said, are you really going to start your life of ministry disobeying me? That's a dangerous thing. You're going to right off the bat make your boss mad? And I said, you know, that's pretty foolish. Pretty foolish. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do what you said to do. And look what God has done as a result. I take no credit other than being an instrument that was willing to say, use me, Lord. And yet you understand that nothing more is ever required of us than to be instruments that are willing to say, use me, Lord. So certainly a life of faith is frustrating because it's often curious. There are more questions than answers, and that's by God's design because He wants us to live by faith. But it's also costly. It's frustrating because it's costly. It's costly financially. Before surrendering to ministry, my former employer liked to refer to employees as bulletproof. They paid very well. They had the best benefits of anybody in the industry. And as long as you performed, did your job satisfactorily, you were in a security blanket that would provide for whatever needs you had. And I liked that. I'm a security person. I'm not a big risk taker. And so I like that feeling of being bulletproof. And then God said, start a church. And when I surrendered to ministry, my employer found out about it. It put me on a week-to-week status so they could find somebody to replace me. And then I was going to be out of work. And that wasn't my plan at all. T.R., I wanted to be a bivocational pastor like my dad, so I wouldn't have to depend on God. And God said, no, I don't want that. I want you to trust me. I was so stressed out about the whole process, I couldn't believe it. I overnight went to zero income. At the time, I had a wife, a stay-at-home wife, and three small children, and a $1,700 or $1,600 a month mortgage. We started the church, and within a couple of months, they started to pay me $2,000 a month. My house was for sale. Didn't sell for quite some time. Well, you don't have to be a mathematician to figure out we had a financial shortfall. And we felt at peace that God was leading us to live off of whatever savings we had. And when that was gone, we lived off of our 401k retirement savings and went through the whole deal. And when we just had enough left that we thought was some sense of security, God said, I want you to give that to start a building fund. And I said, you really do have a sense of humor, don't you? I mean, I'm not asking for a lot. I mean, $10,000 in my retirement account is really not a whole lot to hold on to. And you want that for the building fund. That was our first contribution to the building fund. But God just said, I want you to trust me. I don't want you to trust your bank account. I don't want you to trust your employer. I want you to trust me. I promise to provide for your need. Philippians 4:19 says just that. And my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And praise God, He has. Praise God, He has. We're not rich people by any stretch of the imagination, but we've lived a good life. And I'm trusting God for sufficient health to continue to work as long as I live so we can continue to live a good life. And you say, well, that's what it's going to take. What about retirement? My retirement's going to be in heaven. And I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be exciting. And I won't have to worry about all the kind of issues that come with getting old. But the truth is, a walk of faith is costly financially, but it's also costly relationally. You know, when you start talking about God speaking to you, people get nervous. Have you noticed that? I have. And when I started telling people that were close to us that God was calling me into the ministry, they said, okay, but when I said that He wants me to start a church, you could just see their eyes glaze over. I mean, they're thinking, this is another David Koresh over here. You know what? We've got to get far, far away from this character because he's lost his mind. And a great many of our friends were in that category. They got far, far away. I know exactly what it's like, and my wife knows what it's like, to walk through the grocery store and see people and them turn and go another way so that they don't have to pass you because they don't know what to say to crazy people. So they just ignore you. And I could tell you a long list of names of people that are still ignoring me today. And that's okay. I guess what really troubled me most in that process was those that get angry with you because they don't understand and try to destroy and discredit you. That's pretty painful. I mean, it's one thing to say, I don't understand and I think you're crazy. It's another to try to destroy somebody. And I could give you a long list of names of people that have done that. I didn't really mean to offend. But I understand how when in a great many situations within our immediate family kind of connections and friends, they perceived that we were living the American dream. We had it all going our way. I mean, we had life by the tail, or so it seemed. And to walk away from that really kind of disrespected them in their mind, like, so somehow you're better than us and we shouldn't be wanting the things that you've been wanting all this time and had. Now you're walking away. And so I understand. And I didn't get angry about that. But, you know, can't we just agree to disagree and go on? A lot of days that we had hearts broken over friends that had been very dear to us that would no longer speak to us or return our calls or who would go the other way when they saw you in town. And I cried out to God, and I said, God, it just doesn't seem fair. And God reminded me of Proverbs 18:24, a man who would have friends must himself be friendly. And there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I was never without a friend. And we had wonderful friends in our founding members, and they were such faithful friends for a while. But right away, as God began to bless, one left and got mad and started to run me down in the church then because the church was getting too big. And I thought, really? I mean, and one after one, they just kind of drifted away and broke lots of glass as they left. And that's all right. That's all right. Because we all have a friend in Jesus. But I'm grateful. Dear Lord, how many people you know that have this many friends? People that love them and people that care about them. And I'm richly, richly blessed with the friends that God has brought into our lives. And so I thank Him for the faithfulness of His Word in that regard as well. But I would tell you, walking by faith is costly financially and relationally, but it's also costly spiritually. I want to share with you just a little bit of our journey. You know, when you take a step of faith, the devil hates it because the devil understands that you're releasing the power of God when you operate by faith. Amen. And the devil is crafty and knows how to manipulate people and circumstances and create division, conflict, and strife. He did that in my relationship with my pastor, a man that God used in my life for 10 years to help to grow me and help teach me the Word. Used him to call me into ministry. Allowed me to preach in his pulpit, my second sermon. And then when I said, God wants me to start a church, he said, that's of the devil. And if you do that, I'll destroy you. And I'll make your name a laughingstock in this community and in the Southern Baptist Convention. That was painful. That hurt deeply. But I've not ever been somebody that backed down a lot. And I said, well, good luck. Because if I haven't heard from God, you need to stop me. And if I have heard from God, you need help because you're going to find yourself fighting against God. And he did. And I'm not throwing stones. I wouldn't call his name. If you know who it is, please just keep that to yourself. I just want you to understand that God can use anybody. And the devil can use anybody as well. And does often to try to discredit the work of God. But I would tell you that there are a great many folks, many who were, we thought, very close friends who turned and lied and told all kinds of things. I mean, I've been accused of embezzling money from here. I've been accused of sleeping with the secretary here. I've been accused of all kinds of things. And they'd tell whoever would listen. And you run into people and they'd say, is that true? Are you being investigated? That's why I've said to you before, if I'm guilty of half the stuff I've been accused of, you ought not just fire me, you ought to put me in jail. Because I'm a bad person if I'm getting any of that stuff. But all I know to do is to continue to try to live my life above reproach and know that while the devil's crowd may make all kinds of accusations because, by the way, that's what their dad's known for, the accuser of the brethren, right? God knows the truth. In the final evaluation, I'm going to give an account to God, and I'm not going to be able to lie to him about that. But I'd be honest with you and say that during those times, I cried out to God and I said, God, this is not fair. And this is not fair. In a time where so many folks had turned and I was going through such stress and strain in my work situation, thinking that every week's my last week and how am I going to pay my bills, I broke out with shingles. And I said, dear God, just kill me now, would you? I mean, if this is what life is going to be like, I don't want to be here anymore. And it was as though God was saying, what's the problem here? Do you not know that 2 Corinthians 12:9 is true? My grace is sufficient for you and my strength is made perfect in your weakness. I hate that verse. I hate the verse. I don't like to be weak. I like to be strong, for heaven's sakes. But when I'm strong, he's not able to be strong in me. I need to be weak and get me out of the way that he can be strong in and through me. And I'm stubborn. Amen. So God has to bring things into my life that allow me to understand and express my weakness before him. So we see the function of faith and the frustration of faith. It's curious and it's costly, but there's also the fulfillment of faith. This 11th chapter of Hebrews is God's hall of fame of faith. I'm never going to make that. It's closed. They're listed right here, and you can read about them. I'm talking about great men of God like Abraham and Adam and Enoch and Isaac and Noah and people that just, you know, the Bible was written about, for heaven's sakes. They're not adding new chapters. Have you noticed that? I mean, we're not going to get in there. But I believe we still can have a good rapport with God and be people of great faith. And I believe God gives us fulfillments of faith, just like he gave to these great men and women of old. And I would tell you that we have a clear example of fulfilled faith right here in our midst. Hebrews 11:1, now faith is a substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith is substance. Faith is evidence. And I would tell you that faith has produced great substance at Grace Baptist Church. I'm aware of a number of different churches, well-known churches that you would know names if I called them, and I wouldn't dare, that are struggling to survive, that have debt, just overwhelming debt. And the problem when churches get in that situation, people get nervous and they start leaving. When people start leaving, the giving starts to go down and the debt becomes a bigger problem, and then churches sometimes have to close. I suspect we could go through a long, long list of names of pastors who would love to trade places with me. Here we are sitting in one of the most strategic locations in the county. Ron Cross said to me personally, the most strategic location for church in Columbia County is owned by Grace Baptist Church. And I believe he was telling the truth. Here we have, I think, lovely facilities, 56,000 square feet of facility that's fairly modern, 10 years old. And it's paid for. Amen. And the sweetest spirit of any church I've ever entered in my life. And I've been in lots of churches. I mean, what's to complain about Grace Baptist Church? Yeah, I preach too long and I talk too fast. But I mean well. And yeah, you may or may not like all the music and you may or may not like all the programs. But I mean, God has richly blessed. But would you hear me when I say, 50 acres of land and 56,000 square feet of facilities in a strategic location in Columbia County doesn't impress God. I'll tell you what does impress God. I asked this past week if they could tell me how many people have made professions of faith in Jesus Christ in our 25 years. You know the number? 966. You know how many of those I saved? None. Untold additional rededications. Lots more baptisms, because sometimes we want to be baptized and they are saved, but they just want to make sure they get the baptism on the right side of salvation, those kind of things. So to me, that's important, but what really matters is people have made a first-time commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. 966 people that aren't going to hell anymore, Greg, because of Grace Baptist Church. God likes that number. And untold thousands more that have been touched through mission trips that we've taken to Romania and to China and to Honduras and to Mexico and to Alaska and to all different kinds of places. That's what God's concerned about, and that's what I want us to be concerned about as we enter a new season of ministry. Our first 25 years behind us now, aiming for our next 25, is making sure we get Grace Baptist Church outside the walls of Grace Baptist Church. That we take the love that we enjoy into the workplace, into schools. Your preacher is not very friendly there anymore. I don't know anybody that turns down love. Don't know anybody that turns down love. If you'll love your coworkers, you'll earn the right to share your faith. I recognize the day is gone and probably should never have come. And we thought we were being witnesses because we took our Bibles around with us and hit people over the head with it. You're never going to reach people for Christ that way. You drive them away. But if you just envelop them in love, in time, they'll ask you why. Bingo, there you are. The door's open. The reason I love you is Jesus. What has that got to do with it? Because he loves me. How do you know that? Because he died for me. How do you know that? Because the Bible says he did. But he's not dead anymore, because the Father God loved his expression of faith and raised him from the dead. And he's alive, and he calls out to whosoever will, including people just like you, to come unto me and experience forgiveness and cleansing and life that'll never end in Jesus Christ. And that's the message that we're supposed to carry. And we can. And overnight, we can impact this community. God called this to be a bright and shining beacon of hope in Columbia County, shining in all directions from this hilltop so that others might know for certain that God is here. And a great many do. Ask them. Ask them. You say, what do you know about Grace Baptist Church? I say, that's where that fanatic preacher preaches. And that's okay. Hey, praise God. I'd rather be fanatical about Jesus than anything else. We have a reputation, and it's pretty good in the community. It needs to be better, and it can be if we get outside the four walls of this building. People ask all the time, we're going to build another building. Someday I'm sure we will. Don't have any intention of it today, or even the next year, or perhaps two or three. I don't know. God's in control of that. But I think the church needs to grow and establish a ministry presence in this community and in the inner city. And then move beyond that to foreign countries. I just envision grace places everywhere. I want a grace place downtown that people can come and experience the love of Jesus Christ that we enjoy right here on Sundays and Wednesdays at Grace Baptist Church. Amen. And we can have that. We can afford to do that. God's expecting us to do that. I want a grace place in a foreign country. I don't know where. I don't care where. Might be Haiti, might be Mexico, might be Honduras, might be Peru, might be Romania. I don't care. A grace place where people know they can come and find God, that can be staffed with frequent visitors and trips from Grace Baptist Church. And we can make a difference in another part of the world. I want us to multiply those all over the CSRA and all over the state and all over the country and all over the world. And we can. Not because we got money in the bank, though we do. Because God desires that. And if we'll act by faith, God will provide the money for that. It surely has these wonderful facilities. But he wants us to trust him. And evidence of our trust is to obey him. How in the world do we explain that through these past 25 years, 966 people have come to Christ in an era where 80% of churches are either dead or dying? 80% of churches, 80 out of 100, 8 out of 10 churches are either dead or dying. I would tell you the reason is simple. And I'm going to close real quickly. I know you're hungry. The reason is simple, and that's because God convicted me and God's convicted you to make a big deal out of the Word of God. You don't have any idea, many of you, that this building has scripture verses written all over it, on the steel, on the sheetrock, on the concrete floors, everywhere. You don't have any idea that every Sunday when I preach, I stand right here, and I'm standing on the Word of God. Before this building was built, we dug down where the slab's going to be and placed a Bible there in a plastic container. It's still there today. We could open it and read it. Do a lot of damage to the platform if we did, but we could. On the air handlers in this building and on the electrical panels in this building and wherever there is space in this building and the building next door, Scripture is written. Folks have come here because they recognize a dedication to the Word of God. And my Bible says that God's Word never returns void, but it always accomplishes the purpose for which it was intended. So I'm not a great preacher, but I'm doing my best to be a faithful preacher of the Word. And God honors the Word. We have wonderful, wonderful staff who are dedicated to the Word. We have delightful teachers at the adult level, at the student level, youth level, children's level, preschool level, that love Jesus and are dedicated to the Word of God. I got news for you. Your babies in the nursery hearing the Word of God. Your children in preschool hearing the Word of God. Your children coming to our weekday preschool hearing the Word of God. Your children in our graded Sunday school are hearing the Word of God. Your children in Kids Alive and K-Church hearing the Word of God. The Word of God is what will equip us for the onslaught of the wicked one. It's coming. It's coming if we continue to live by faith. But folks, if we're going to please God, we don't have any alternative but to live by faith. The just shall live by faith. And as we live by faith, we release all the blessing of God in our life. And God desires to bless us richly. He has, and He'll continue to if we'll stay faithful to His Word. But guess what? That implies living it out. It's one thing to read it, memorize it. It's one thing to study it. But it's another thing to live it. I like what the old preacher said. It's one thing to mark your Bible. It's a big fad now. I mark mine. My ADD just tears my Bible all to pieces. It's got marks red, blue, yellow. One thing to mark your Bible, it's another thing for your Bible to mark you. I want our lives to be marked by the Bible. I want people to see Scripture being lived out in us daily. Because there is no other hope for lost humanity than Jesus. And how will they know about Him? But the Word of God speak that truth to them. Now, I'm not the only person here that's been called to a life of faith. Every Christian has. I don't know what God's calling you to. And I don't have to know. But I suspect you know. Or you're getting a pretty good idea. And you might be like me, trying to get God to give you some kind of a confirmation. You might be putting out fleeces and you might be asking God for some kind of an engraved letter or telegraph. Probably not going to respond. But if you'll take the step of faith, God will meet you there. And He will do great and mighty things in and through us that we really can't explain any other way. And yet, it starts when we express faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, recognizing our sinfulness and our desperate need for a Savior, and that Jesus is our only hope. And we come to that place of surrender. I've tried it my way and it won't work. I'm asking you to forgive me and to cleanse my unrighteousness and to adopt me into your family and seal me forever and to fill me with your Spirit. And I'm telling you, you've then chosen a life of faith and God has great things in store, but you realize each of those blessings by that same faith that brought you to Him. So we're concluding a chapter, 25 years of Grace Baptist Church. And we've just scratched the surface of what God wants to do. The question is simple. Are we willing to live out Scripture that says the just shall live by faith? For only then will our faith produce substance and evidence. And if it's not producing substance and evidence, it may not be real faith at all. How we choose. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for faith. And for your faithfulness to us through these 25 years. And yet, Lord God, you've been faithful to me for 62 plus years. You are faithful to me by placing me in a godly Christian home with parents that loved me. And my heart breaks for those who don't have that blessing. And we have some right here. Lord, I pray that you envelop them in your love and provide healing for the deep hurt that they feel. Remind them that they have a Father who loves them enough to die for them and proved it at Calvary. Now, Lord, might that be enough? That they could break free of the stronghold of bitterness or guilt or insecurity and have victory in Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you for the faith of the saints of Grace Baptist Church that have persevered through these 25 years. Been some great days, been some awful days. And you've been God through them all. And I pray that you'd bless them richly. And I know many of them face trials and tribulations and hardships and difficulties. Lord God, just envelop them in your love and help them to continue to walk by faith that we might have a good report. Lord, not so much with this preacher or with this church family or with this community or with a boss or with a school teacher or with a principal, but that we might have a good report with God. Lord, I pray for one today that doesn't know Jesus Christ as Savior. I read the day might be the day they'd recognize their need and take that step of faith in Jesus and come and take this preacher by the hand and say, "Preacher, I need to be saved." And what better day than homecoming as we celebrate God's goodness and grace. Lord, I pray for those that you've brought here today that have other decisions. Maybe some to surrender to ministry. Maybe some to deal with dysfunctional relationships. Maybe some, Lord, for church membership. Maybe some to be forgiving for the first time. Maybe some to extend mercy and grace for the first time. Whatever the case might be, Lord, I pray that during this decision time, your will be done. And I pray your heavenly angels stand guard of each soul that's here. Do battle against the forces of darkness that would keep them or hold them back and help them to have perfect liberty and perfect freedom in Jesus Christ to do your bidding. And for all that you do in this time together, we'll praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand to your feet. If God's spoken to your heart, you've got a decision to make. This all is over. LeBron's here, Mark's here, I'll be here as well. Others can as need be. I realize it's crowded, but if God's spoken to your heart, take a step of faith and trust Him. Would you come?